The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. I'm sorry, the gospel reading was not the same as what you had in the book. There are a lot of options for scripture readings for the masses of all souls, so I just picked one. I've been suffering a morbid curiosity lately. I've wondered, when do people start thinking seriously about death? In fact, when I go to people's homes for dinner, I ask them that question. Have you started thinking seriously about death? Is it at 40 years old when people decorate your birthday with black frosting and say you're over the hill? That is, now you're headed downhill to death. Or is it at 50 when doctor visits become more invasive and you become more evasive? 50 is, after all, the new 40. Or is it when you contract cancer and the doctor says you only have 6 months to live? Is that when you finally think seriously about death? If you are William Cullen Bryant, the 19th century American poet, you began thinking seriously about death at the age of 17. In 1811, he arguably wrote his most famous poem called Thanatopsis, which means a meditation on death. Bryant tries to comfort those who look at the coffin that the dead body is placed in as the narrow house. And he writes, "Thou go not like a quarry slave at night, scourged to his dungeon, but sustained and soothed by an unfaltering trust. Approach thy grave like one who wraps his drapery of his couch about him and lies down to pleasant dreams." In other words, Bryant invites his reader to learn from Mother Nature and see how all things come to an end, like sleep at the end of a long, hard day, and welcome death like lying down to pleasant dreams. Every November 2nd, we celebrate the commemoration of All Souls, and Mother Church, like Mother Nature, teaches us how to look at death and prepare for it. But there is a huge difference between these two teachers. Mother Church shows us how to look at death not through the eyes of a poet, but through the eyes of a prophet. That is, with the eyes of faith. Through faith, we see death not as a narrow house, but as the narrow door that opens to the Father's house. Today's responsorial psalm, the remarkable Psalm 23, frequently recited at funerals, begins by learning from Mother Nature. We read, "In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul." But then the sage psalm concludes by learning from Mother Nature what faith promises, namely, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come." That is, death is not the narrow house at the end of life, but rather the narrow door that leads to eternal life. Or to change the metaphor, death is not the period at the end of the sentence of life, but only a comma, a pause, before continuing with the rest of life. Back to my original morbid curiosity. When should we start thinking seriously about death? Well, the church would answer that we should think about death every year. Every year. On the commemoration of All Souls. But we should also think about it because now is the end of the calendar of the church year, before Advent. The whole liturgical year ends at the end of November. I see three particular benefits of meditating on death. First, death helps you to live life a little more soberly and seriously because you know it's going to end. You know, the joy and the happiness that God has sown into creation can be intoxicating. And like Noah, who beheld the rainbow after the flood, we too can get drunk on life. But death is the ultimate buzzkill for those who want to party too much on life. Second, death teaches us to hold on to the goods of creation with a loose grip, with a loose grip. That is, knowing that we must eventually let go of all people and places and things. We can be like little children who refuse to go to sleep at bedtime, but rather want to keep playing with our toys. And Mother Church, like many moms and dads, tries to teach us, it's time to go to bed, honey. And thirdly, death reminds us that the day of reckoning will come, the day of judgment, when we must settle accounts with the Lord and show the Lord how we use the talents he gave us temporarily. You know, Rush Limbaugh, the conservative commentator, likes to say that he has talents on loan from God. And that's absolutely true. The hard part is when Rush will have to return those talents to God. And that will be the hard part for all of us. My friends, I hope my morbid curiosity has not been too depressing for you. My point was only to show that Bryant's narrow house is in reality the Blessed's narrow door, the door that ultimately leads to the Father's house. Praised be Jesus Christ.